How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Survivor Series Fallout. It was a show. A quick show. My gosh. When you compare it to last week's AEW pay-per-view, Full Gear, which ran for about 17 hours. It was fine. It was a great show. It was just very long versus a very short show here. Four matches, two surprises, I guess you would say. Two returns during this pay-per-view. We're going to break it all down. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. Let me know what you thought of this, because I have to tell you, watching this, and we'll talk about it in the next segment after we come from break, but watching this with my family, watching this with a bunch of kids around, and watching this by myself to talk about it to you today are two very different ways of consuming this media. It's daunting how different it is. But we're going to talk about it. Obviously, the big return was Liv Morgan here. For some people, it was the main event. John Cena, Dominic Mysterio in San Diego, Dominic's hometown. That was my favorite match of the night. I like that more than anything else. Very good match. We saw the Io Sky trash can spot. She is the queen of War Games at this point. That's her signature match, right? That's her thing. She does that spot every single War Games. We saw a mystery man show up during the main event. And, of course, we're going to go through the Continental Classic standings. Very loaded Continental Classic here for AEW. All this and a whole lot more right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. You can follow me there. You can find out everything else that I do. I do more than just this show. Do a bunch of other podcasts. This is a radio show. It's not a podcast. You can get it on podcast form, of course, on WrestlingObserver.com and everywhere else podcasts are available, but this is a radio show. Let's talk about this. Survivor Series, War Games. My producer's here to help me out a little bit here today, MG.
I'm here. Hello.
You know, we were discussing last week, who's going to start, which one is starting War Games this year? And it was the women. AJ Lee, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Alexa Bliss, and Charlotte Flair defeated Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Lash Legend, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. This went 40 minutes. I mean, of course, they're all long, right? There was no Shark Cage this year, which was the big difference. What'd you make of that setup?
I was trying to figure out why, and it occurred to me they probably didn't have enough room with the dugouts because they were coming out of the dugouts.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
I didn't
ask.
No
stage, you couldn't. There was no point in putting them out there and no one can see them, because if they're doing things story wise like they did last year, where Punk and Roman were in the cage and they were taking shots at each other, yeah, and they were putting the camera on them and it was telling a story. There was no point of that, so it made sense to do it the way they did it.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I wasn't bothered by it not having a top. Everybody came out of the dugout. Yeah. It was an interesting setup. You know, outdoor stadium. San Diego, I mean, is there any other place you could run this show at this time of year? Maybe Arizona?
We can talk about it later, because, yeah, there's a couple of baseball stadiums. Miami, that they could do it in, but yeah, this was a very cool setup.
It looked great. I mean, the visuals, the shot looked incredible. I mean, as far as visually how the show looked, it was out of this world. The production is bar none.
They got great weather too.
This was a interesting match. There were moments that people were they were really hot for. There were other moments that you couldn't hear a thing, and apparently it was not mic'd correctly, the stadium, because from people within the building, they said, you know, people were loud throughout the night. Obviously, you had some flatter moments, but it wasn't as bad as it came off on TV. That's what people are saying in the building. But that's what they always say in the building.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also, remember, there's nowhere, it just goes straight up, the sound. It's an open stadium. Charlotte and Asuka would start off the match for the first 5 minutes. They just did a regular match. It was just a regular five-minute match.
You could tell they were waiting to really turn up the heat on everything.
Iyo Sky would enter third with a trash can lid with her name on it, followed by Becky for her team. Alexa Bliss would come out third for her team. She got a big reaction. Kairi Sane would come out next for her team wearing a green chain.
Okay, so the green chain, was it plastic or was it? I thought it was metal, but I thought at first it was plastic.
It has to be metal. That's the story we're sticking to. It's a metal chain. AJ would come out fourth for her team. Big reaction for AJ. Big reaction. Nia Jax would come out.
Becky was trying to stop AJ from coming out.
From coming in,
the cage.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
they
would do the same spot in the men's match, which there was a lot of repeats.
There was.
Which probably didn't help.
AJ looked good. What did you make of AJ?
Yeah, really good. They didn't have her do a lot. She kind of laid under the ropes for a good part of time until they needed her for a couple of spots toward the end.
Ease yourself
in
there.
I thought she looked good.
Yeah, ease yourself in. Rhea Ripley would come out. Big reaction for Rhea. She was wearing a Art the Clown mask for people who don't know what that was.
Which I don't.
You don't know who Art the Clown is, right?
No.
Mm-mm. Art the Clown is a horror figure. He's the Freddy Krueger of Gen Z.
Okay.
Okay, he's from the Terrifier series and the All Hallows Eve series.
It was scary.
It's a very scary character. The kids are all about Art the Clown. They love Art the Clown. There's no more Freddy Krueger and Jason. It's Art the Clown. So she came out in an Art the Clown mask protecting her face. She had a big reaction there. Lash Legend came out, as you have put in the show notes. Flash Legend.
Wow.
You know, she came out. She cleared everybody out. She looked very strong. Not a big reaction for her. But again, it was hard to tell with that building. The finishing sequence saw Asuka lining up Rhea for the miss, but Charlotte saved her, and the miss hits Lash Legend. AJ brought the trash can from across the ring as Io's on top of the cage, and she does this spot where she's trying
where
to jump.
She's
getting about an inch and a half off the ground with her jump. So Rhea puts her on her shoulders.
And you could hear that the mic did pick up. Do you need help?
Yeah. It was great. That was fantastic.
She's like, yeah.
Paul Heyman just fell. The triad of the apocalypse that I have bought next to me. Have you seen this? On my desk right now, for people who are watching and not listening, I apologize. The triad of the apocalypse. It is Noah Syndergaard, formerly of the New York Mets, Paul Heyman, and Gangrel. And every show that we do, this sign falls, and one of them topples. It's a sign. It means it's a sign for how the rest of my day is going to go. Paul Heyman fell. I don't know what that one means. Noah Syndergaard falling is a really bad omen here in the studio. I thought this was a great spot. It was fun. She did her, EO ended up doing her trash can spot, which everybody loves.
I don't know if you noticed it, and I put it in the notes there, but when they panned up and she was ready to put that trash can on her head, I really loved the visual of the background with the skyline of San Diego.
Oh my god, that skyline! Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah. The weather. I mean, was beautiful.
Yeah, and then you saw the top of the lights from the stadium. I thought that really was a good shot. They could have got it a little better, but man, I was like, that's cool. And you know, because and that was really the only high spot of both War Games matches, so they kind of featured it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that is a spot for her, you know, especially for the women's War Games, considering she's been in so many of them. That's the spot.
Well, Triple H said in the post show, he goes, kind of like Kofi's Royal Rumble spot, it's kind of hit that level of, okay, you got to do this now. How are we going to do it different? You know, it's going to be kind of hard going forward to top it. It's kind of, I don't know if they have to take her out of the match for a couple of years.
Who, EO?
Special again or what? Yeah.
I don't know. But essentially with her entire team down, Becky was the only one that didn't get hit. She tries to run, but that would cause her to lose anyway. She ends up taking a finisher from everyone until AJ applied the Black Widow, and she submitted. So the baby faces for the win here. It had its moments. I did not love it. I didn't love anything. I loved the John Cena match, but that was really the only thing I really loved on the show.
And I think this suffered for a lot of us, like the more hardcore fans. If you watched Blood and Guts 2 weeks ago and then you watch this, how will you even compare those? You can't.
You can't. And it's not really fair to. It's not fair to anybody to compare because these are two very different products.
But people do.
I can't. You know how I'm happy watching this? I'm happy watching this because I could distinguish the difference between television, theater, and movies. It's all different. You could enjoy it very differently. You know, this has become something much larger than what we're used to. We'll talk about, I want to touch on that because I will tell you who absolutely loved everything about this when we come back from break, because, you know, watching this with the same perspective on everything that I watch wrestling, every way I watch wrestling, it's not fair to look at it that way. We'll talk about it when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Before we went to break, watch this with a bunch of people in my house. All the kids loved it. I just want to tell you that. The kids freaking loved that the women's War Games match. My daughter loved it. My son was into it. They love Rhea Ripley. They love AJ Lee. You know, I watch it. I'm like, okay, this isn't for me. What match I did really like was a John Cena Dominic Mysterio match. I thought this was match of the night, but this was for me. It went 17 minutes here. It took half that roster. It took all of Judgment Day and half of San Diego to beat John Cena here. You know, there were moments that were done that were masterful of this match. The fake Dominic shoulder injury was done so well.
I thought wait, is this a problem? Are we stopping the match?
You know,
he did such a good job of selling that.
He did such a good job. Everybody that was watching with me was like, oh my gosh, he's hurt. Everybody. Like, I could kind of tell on this one. The one that I couldn't tell was the Braun Breaker one, which we'll talk about. That was a very scary spot. And it was the total opposite. Everybody that was watching did not even notice anything happening. They thought it was all part of it. And I'm watching. I'm like, oh no, this guy fell right on his neck. So pretty much John Cena comes out, Intercontinental Champion, Dominic Mysterio, hometown boy. He comes out to a big pop, but they did turn on him. He was not a babyface throughout this entire match until the end. John Cena comes out,
spots.
Huge reaction.
There were spots.
There were spots. Yeah. The 619. Mm-hmm. There were a number of spots here. At some point in the match, Dominic went for, a hurricanrana on the outside? And John didn't rotate to go and flip with it, and Dominic just fell on his shoulder.
Like,
and immediately setting up
power bomb almost.
It was what?
It was almost like a power bomb.
It was almost like a power bomb. And the way Dominic fell on, you know, the replay made me realize that it was he moved that way, but you know, you got to look to notice that. He did a great job. So he's out, he's hurt. Rodriguez and Perez and Roxanne Perez were at ringside here. They would start hitting their moves on John Cena. Okay? Roxanne hits a move. Roxanne Perez does a
Pop Rocks.
A Pop Rocks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. John
Tahana bomb.
And John watching John take those moves, he's so stiff. Yes. There's no flop. It's just like he's almost like a wrestle buddy. Remember the wrestle buddy?
Yes.
He takes the spot, but there's no movement.
You know what I took out of this, Rich, is John Cena is committed and determined to work with every single new star there is.
There isn't a man or a woman.
He's going to get them in his matches somehow.
Yeah, that's man or a woman, he's going to get them. So this again was the story of John Cena has no friends.
Right?
I mean, this has forever been the story of John Cena. John Cena has no friends in this company. He never has. Nobody likes John. Dom fakes a shoulder injury. He takes the he takes moves from Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez. Set him up for the 619. He gets hit with the 619. He kicks out. John now is, you know, now they're going back and forth. The ref first refuses to take the count, which I've never seen that before.
I never saw that either. I apparently listened to Dave and Brian. That happens in Mexico quite a bit, but never in the States that I.
I've never seen that in the States. No, where you fake an injury, and then you play possum. Right, that's all he was doing was playing possum. And the ref refuses.
I'm mad at you for faking it.
Yeah. I'm mad at you for faking it. I think that referee should be investigated. Never that's not part of the rule book. I can't imagine it is. At this point, Finn and JD McDonagh would get involved. Cena ends up taking both of them out with a double AA. That was a big, impressive spot. Dom would end up bringing the title in to use against Cena, but he would duck it. He hit an AA, no ref. Liv Morgan's music hits. Big reaction.
Now
for
I had
Liv.
Heard that she was coming. I didn't know if she was going to be in this spot or if they were going to introduce her in the women's title match. But
yeah,
this worked.
I was pleasantly surprised by how they did this. So what she does, she stares at Dominic. Dominic is excited to have her back, and she slaps Dom. She turns around and she jumps in John Cena's arms. John has his goofy, happy look on his face. Liv has this this psychotic laughing face. And then all of a sudden her face shifts to exactly what John did to Cody. Jumps off and kicks him right in the nuts.
Right in the lower nether region, as we say.
I thought it was done so well. It was so well. Sets up Dominic for a frog splash. She used this title. She hits Cena with the title. Cena's out cold. Dominic does the frog splash. 1, 2, 3. Dominic is the IC champion once again. He's still the AAA mega champion. Great match. Loved it.
Yep.
It required everything. It was, every possible interference, every, you know. It took half that roster to beat John Cena.
It was one of those bait and switch matches where there's so much happening, it's kind of hard to follow. But at the end, you go, you know what? That was fun. It was just fun to watch.
So John needs to win this next. He's going to have to win his final match.
I don't know how. Yeah, how do you do that? If the plan is still Gunther, which according to Dave said.
According
that,
to Dave, our very own now, Dave Meltzer. Yeah, it's Gunther. But he has to beat Gunther. He has to. You can't have him lose two in a row on his way out.
I don't know. They look at it differently. Maybe John wants to lose to everybody. Like I said, he's all about putting over new talent. That seems to be his thing.
Yeah.
So after years of being accused of burying everybody,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
We'll see. I thought this was great. I really enjoyed this. I really did. Where does it go from here? We'll see. The next match, really a tough spot for these two. Stephanie Vaquer, Nikki Bella. So this was the moment where, you know, they do that, and they do it in like all the singles matches, right? But they do the introduction, you know, in the ring for the title. And it's like shot with that hyper, you know, depth of field view. Everybody calls it the 4K shot, you know. It is I was not a fan of this match. It was not a good match.
No. There wasn't a lot of good stuff in there.
It was not a lot of good stuff in here. It went about 12 and a half minutes. Listen, I think Nikki Bella is a fantastic wrestler, and from what she was meant for in that company to what she ended up being were two very different things. I think she's done tremendous. I thought, you know, listen, it's hard. It's a hard setup. It's a hard spot. You got 12 and a half minutes. I don't think she looked great.
No, and you could tell the age is getting to her a little bit. And, you know, for the character she is, she's good, but she's never going to give you anywhere near a great wrestling match.
No, and it was just, I don't know what it was. I would have loved for her to do, have a great match. It just wasn't it. The big moment here, obviously, is the Devil's Kiss. That's the big spot in all of Stephanie's matches. They teased it once. Then they did it on the table. And it seems like Nikki Bella doesn't know what to do with her hands when she's doing this spot.
Yeah.
And she just does like, she puts her hands back and they're so stiff and they're like going.
She was like swimming.
She was like swimming. It was just, it looked off. It looks off. And that spot has gotten so over. And if I were to describe it to anybody, I would be thrown off the radio.
Right.
If I describe what it is.
I have a question. Do you think they're pigeonholing Stephanie into that needs that's so over that she has to do that's all her
guess
character's
what? It's
based
WWE.
On?
She doesn't need to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's WWE.
Yeah, fair.
The presentation is the big story here. Listen, the main event. How long were those intros? Those entrances, from the even just the first two, because the other ones are rushing. But it's all about entrances. What was it on Raw? The entrances were like out of control.
Oh, when Roman and Roman and CM Punk and it took them like 15 minutes.
It took them like 15 minutes. It's part of the show. The entrance is part of the show. That is what people are paying to go see. They want to see the entrances. They want to yeet. They want to hold their finger up. They want to do this to their wrist. Check the time. It's part of the show.
We'll get to that in the next match
because
I have something to say about that.
When we come back from break, we're going to talk about the main event here. That was the War Games men's match. Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar defeated CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Jay, and Jimmy Uso in a terrible ending. I hated that finish. We'll talk about this. When we come back, Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's talk about the main event of the War Games of Survivor Series. Let me ask, before we break this down, what did you think of this match?
What did I think? I think that this was... There was a lot of stuff I liked, and then there was some plot holes in here that I just didn't understand. Okay, so before you get into it, I am not a fan of stopping in the middle of a match to do a yeet spot, or let's play my music again.
Oh,
I see why they did it, but yeah, for me
it didn't have the same effect as like the what AEW does with their brawl. Where they have the music playing, midway.
Yeah. Which was, I think, what they were trying to go for, because they let his music play while they started brawling again. Punk started hitting people with kendo sticks. But yeah,
so
I didn't like that.
This went 39 minutes. Bron Breakker and CM Punk started this. And to me, it was very telling that that's where they're going here. And it's going to be CM Punk and Bron Breakker. Possibly WrestleMania. I mean, I think Bron Breakker should win the Royal Rumble and go to WrestleMania. I think that'd be great.
One of my main takes out of this show is Bron Breakker's getting the mega push this year.
Oh, he has to.
Wait, but it's happening this year.
Drew McIntyre would enter third, followed by Cody Rhodes for his team. There was a what was interesting? There was a WrestleVotes tweet that went out saying that there was a lot of back and forth regarding who's coming out when. in this match. Yeah. And then Triple H, during the presser, I guess afterwards, was talking about all the politicking and angling that was happening.
Yeah, he openly admitted it.
I mean, it was weird. Obviously, to me, that's like the typical WWE like planting, you know, story.
Right.
But I thought it was done well. Drew McIntyre enters third. Cody enters fourth. Cody and Punk both were bleeding in this match. Mostly from being raked across the cage. Yeah, the two AEW guys in the Blood and Guts match are bleeding. So this spot was very scary. Braun Breaker is set up for a doomsday device. CM Punk is on the top rope. He goes for that flying clothesline. Braun does not flip fully backwards. And he lands right on his neck. And he pops
up. I cringed.
And he sits up. And he's selling it, but he's selling like, oh no, is my neck fine? And not like laying on the floor. And you could see everybody staring at him. What was bizarre was...
The camera panned away.
But on commentary, they're talking about how he could have possibly broke his neck.
Yes.
And you know, they normally don't do that. They normally don't say, oh my gosh, he's going to kill him. He's going to die. He could die from that. He broke his neck. They don't say that. So I thought that was interesting that they did that. But really, that was very scary. He did land on his neck, for sure. And you could see that
they just let him recover.
They let him recover. He turned off. You could see that the trainer was like talking to him. Punk went to him for like a second to like get him back up and to do something. And he backed away. That was a very scary spot. And man, and if it was anybody else except for a Steiner, that would have been very dangerous.
Well, the guy has traps for like days.
Yeah.
His neck and his trap region, I mean, he's built to take that. Now, you don't want to take that often, if ever again, but yeah.
That was something. Logan Paul enters in next. He brought a steel chair to the ring. Jimmy Uso enters after him. He brings a table to the ring with him. The heels maintain control as Bronson Reed enters next.
And then we got the Oprah spot. You get a tsunami.
We got the Oprah spot. Reed planted Punk, Jimmy, and Rhodes with a tsunami. Jey Uso enters in fourth. He would clear the ring. So he could re-rack his entrance with Yeats. So he went and they did the Yeats again.
Oh, this is... I hated this.
You know who loved it? My son. He loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it. Brock now enters. Brock's music plays. I mean, this guy's such a maniac, by the way.
So one thing they did here, I don't know if you noticed it. They didn't do the countdown.
No, they did not.
They just had him come out.
Yeah. Because they wanted a surprise moment. Brock clears the ring. Walks out to the ring waiting for Roman, which I absolutely love that. Roman comes out, tries to Superman punch his way by Brock. Brock would get Roman through the announce table. You know, what did you think of that? I liked that he was waiting for Roman.
Yeah, he knew who he you knew the you could tell the reason why he was in this match was the reason why he was in this match was because of Roman Reigns. So when Roman's music hit and he walked out of the thing and was on the ramp, and they did a good job on commentary of clearing up the loophole about being DQ'd, forfeiting if you leave the cage.
Yeah.
It means when the match actually starts. So.
Yeah. This was a big moment for them. And then here's the big moment. Roman Reigns comes out, you know, he gets beat up by him. Heyman hands Logan Paul brass knuckles, which Roman would take from him and use it to take out the heel team. So it backfired, the brass knucks. The match ends. And this was, it was so anticlimactic. The match ends when a hooded person enters, climbs the cage, He hits CM Punk with Seth Rollins curb stomp. Actually, I'm sorry. He hits him with like a super kick first, then curb stomps him and flies out of the ring. He leaped out of that cage.
Like literally, like it was like in, kick,
and out.
And just kept running the other way.
Braun Breaker would hit the spear. CM Punk would win. On CM Punk, and he would win for the match. After the match, the Vision would celebrate ringside. Roman would help Punk to his feet, but not Cody. Cody and Roman had a moment where Cody said something along the lines of, "That's the last time we ever come together."
Last time we ever teamed together, I think was the line.
Yeah, we teamed together.
Just know that, something like that.
I mean, are we going to see Roman and him for the fourth time at WrestleMania?
That's where, according to Dave, listened to this morning, that's the direction they're going. I hope they have a good story because it's going to be flat if not.
Some notes. They announced that the crowd was 46,016, a record for Survivor Series. Braun Breaker was cleared after the match. He was fine. He was checked out. A lot of celebrities in the crowd. Topanga was there, the biggest one that I'll mention.
She got pop. She got a big pop.
Of course Topanga got a pop. How could she
not? Did you notice her shirt?
She was wearing Vader.
Yeah, which is a callback to her show.
Boy Meets World. On her show. Yeah.
Yep.
So, a few notes here. Continental Classic, obviously, happening. I want to touch on that really quickly. Also, Claudio Castagnoli defeated Gran Guerrero at Arena Mexico to win the CMLL World Heavyweight Champion. This ends a 3+ reign for Guerrero.
3 years, yeah.
This was a great match. Claudio looked great. That crowd was so into this. It was fantastic. I highly recommend you check it out. Here is the standings currently for the Continental Classic. Blue League, Gold League, Blue League, Orange Cassidy, 0. Takeshita has 3. John Moxley has 3. Claudio has 3. Roderick Strong, 0. Mascara Dorado, 0. Gold League, Darby Allin, 0. Pac, 3. Kevin Knight, 3. Mike Bailey, 0. Kyle Fletcher, 3. And Okada, 0.
What do you think of Okada losing?
Very surprised.
I'm not. I'm glad they're doing that. I'm glad they're not making it, you know, have him fight from behind maybe and come up. Because I wonder if we're getting him in the finals or if they're going to split the titles up again, because they teased.
I don't know that title situation, because now
it's confusing, isn't it?
It's very confusing because it's together. It's not. It's the Continental. It's the International that combine turn into Unified.
Yeah, and then you get a new title to represent both of them.
And then you get a new title to represent both of them.
You know. I'm confused.
Yeah, they could do a little bit of a better job with that. The current lineup for December 3rd. Actually, the tickets are moving really well for this show, by the way. The December 3rd show. There's over 3,000 people in that building. Last week, we were talking about, you know, their happy spot with their attendance. You know, 3,800 and the 4,000. That's a healthy number for them right now. You got Toni Storm and Mina. This is the semifinals in a hardcore holiday death match against Marina Shafir and Megan Bain.
How they introduced this, I thought was clever.
I thought it was clever. Yeah.
Where she comes out and she's confronting Moxley and she's like, "Tell your girl this is what the match is." So,
yeah, I thought it was done well. You also have John Moxley versus Claudio in a Blue League match. So Death Riders are facing off against each other. You know, and this is part of that story that I think they need to tell is how maybe John Moxley gets kicked out of the Death Riders.
And at some point, I feel like they could head that way.
I think it has
just real
to.
Quick.
Yeah.
Would you say the finals of this is going to be Takeshita and Okada? Is that where they're going?
I think it should be. And I think Takeshita should beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I think Takeshita should beat him. I'm very interested. I will say that this is the best story that they have told in, you know, the last couple years of AEW. I'm very intrigued by the Takeshita and Okada storyline, and it's a long-term thing, and I want to see this match now. That was the thing about AEW, because AEW, and my entire joke was about AEW, they could put on, early on, right, an early AEW. I'm giving this as a random example, but I think people will understand. You could give me a Claudio Castagnoli match against Trent Barretta, early AEW, and I will say, oh man, I really want to see that match. WWE could put that on, and I had nothing behind it. They had this magic where they could do, hey, Dustin Rhodes versus Cody Rhodes. That could have been a match in WWE that it would have been just been a 7.5 minute match that meant nothing in the middle of a card. But in AEW, that match came off as a historic match for that company and for professional wrestling. They have this magic ability to do that, and they hadn't done it in a long time, and it's starting to happen now between Kyle Fletcher, between Okada, between Jon Moxley, between Takeshita. They've done, I'm giving those as examples. They've been able to do this magic where, oh, I want to see what happens here.
Swerve, it's a couple guys. That
Swerve, another one that has that ability to work with anybody that you want to see. That was what made AEW really strong in the beginning, and I think they need to do that. Also, the black ropes. They need to go back to that black rope. Please. I'm begging you, Tony. Don't listen to anybody else. Just listen to me. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, final segment of the show. I wanted to touch on this because we were talking about Kenny Omega and how he's been booked and where they're headed with Kenny. And I brought up, I can't remember which one of my shows it was, but it could have been this one where we were discussing Kenny, and I was clear. I said, you know, they don't want to put him in a lot of singles matches. In Friday's edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave mentioned it. AEW doesn't want to put Kenny Omega in long singles matches, which has led to the reunion. This was, Dave is 100% right. They want to save those for very special moments. I think that's the way to do it. If you have a talent that wants to go at 1,000% into singles matches and you know that he can't, this is the way to do it. If he does 5 singles matches a year, I'm thrilled. I'm happy. I got 5 Kenny Omega singles matches. I'll take it. I thought that was just very interesting that they went into that. Also, the Andrade contract situation is still continuing, and somehow Dave has become the enemy of Andrade on this. Andrade said that he's working with WWE on an agreement that'll get him out of his 1-year non-compete clause. He also said WWE only activated the clause after he appeared on AEW programming. Andrade believed that he was completely free agent. Dave had mentioned that he was signed, or they said that he was signed or close to sign. And Andrade, I don't know if it's a language barrier. I don't know if he's interpreting it differently. I heard what Dave said. He did say that he was either signed or close to signing. But I thought it was interesting that Dave has now become the enemy, and he's yelling at Dave and not WWE for keeping him hostage and preventing him from working. I mean, that's interesting. And also, we got Liger and Joey Janela. Liger came out of retirement to answer Joey Janela's challenge at WrestleCade. I thought that was fun. Guys, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another Wrestling Observer Live. See y'all next time. Take care.